Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
They were hailed way back in 2021 as marking the road to the future of retail. Amazon brought the no-checkout shops to locations around the UK. But now they've said that they're going to pull the concept after 4 years. So what went wrong and why didn't customers embrace the tech? Well, for more on this, I'm joined in the studio by retail consultant Barry Savage, and on the line, technology journalist Emmett Ryan is with us. Barry, you were in one of these shops, were you, in the US?
I certainly was, Claire. No, not in the US, actually in London.
Oh, how
I was
did
the
it work?
One in Ealing,
yeah,
in West London. And although I didn't have the app to go in as such, my friends had the app. So I said, look, I've been in the retail business. I said, sure, I'll go in and have a look. Well, you know what it is? It was like stepping onto the set of a sci-fi movie. You know, I thought I was buying milk in the Matrix.
Was it not just like, because I would go in now and do my, you know, where you scan your products and then pay quickly on the way out, and I find that handy. Was it not just like that? No.
No, it was like a step above that.
Okay.
So it was. No, I know exactly what you mean. The scanner that you bring, you carry the thing around you in the store.
Yeah.
But the thing is, even with that, there's a little bit of kickback against that, because customers, every now and again, a customer might be stopped and say, well, look, I need to check your groceries.
Yes.
I need to check what you've scanned in case you're scanning something and putting it under your hat, or not scanning something and putting it under your hat. So, I mean, there's sort of a little bit of a kickback against that, and that's fine for a big shop. But when you go into these soulless sort of emporiums, high-tech emporiums, I think that's one of the reasons why people were kicking back against
it. Was it more the look and the feel of the shop as opposed to the fact that there was no till?
Well, it was the look and the feel of the shop. The fact that there was no till was really only an ancillary thing to the whole experience, because not only was there no till, you could actually use your own bag as you were going around and put goods into the bag, which again, with older customers as well, thought, oh my God, I'm going to get a tip on the shoulder any minute for not scanning a banana. But you know, the thing was that every time you took something off a shelf, either a camera or a sensor would show that you've taken that, and you'd be charged up on your app on the way out. So, I mean, you know, there was
that
sort
of... But what if I pick something up and have a look at it and put it back?
Well, exactly. Sure, Claire, that's what I did. I picked up the milk. I picked up a pint of milk and had a look at it. And wasn't it low fat? And I'm not having that. I put that back again. But I tried to put it back, but it wouldn't let me put it back.
Oh, no. I to look at the things.
I want it. And what do I need a degree in technology to buy a pint of milk? I mean, you know, is that the way it's going to come? Hell, you add up. You know, I don't need that when I go into a store.
Well,
that's sort of dread.
Let's get the tech side of this now, or the business side as well, okay. Emmett, because Amazon, I mean, if any other company did this, it would be seen as a failure, you know, a bit of a black mark. But it doesn't really matter to Amazon that this didn't work, does it? Does it?
You know, the cost of this and the risk, it's a drop in the ocean for them, Claire.
Mm-hmm. So they can just write this off, even though it's a very visible sort of a failure for Amazon. It doesn't matter to them in the grand scheme of things, does it?
It really doesn't. Like, and that's the difference between Amazon, say, and pretty much most other people who are going into business. The sheer size of Amazon means something like this. Like 19 stores in the UK are the ones being affected here directly. Like for them, it's a case of we tried, didn't work, we move on. Whereas for, you know, most of the companies, this would be a huge financial hit. For Amazon, it's like a line on their sheet at the end of the year. So it's very, very different. And I suppose one of the things we've been touching on sort of in this segment is sort of the difference from regular shopping. I think that was one of the things that went against this, because when you think about like sort of how we'd use tech in shopping today, like the classic one is a self-checkout, or like you were saying, the checking goods while you're going around. Today,
self-scan, isn't that what we call it?
Self-scan, yes. But with either of those, there is the obvious benefit of you can always ask someone for help. You know, there's always a human around. Like when I'm self-checking out my like locals up the road, like we've got two self-checkouts, one with a human, and I know something goes wrong with the one with the self-checkout, the human is there, and I can go, right, I've got a problem with this, mate, and they'll solve it in a few seconds. I suppose the completely sort of, you know, insane experience with Amazon of like describing the milk there. It's like, how do I put the milk back? Like, you don't have that problem in your local SuperValu, your local Tesco. Like,
Does this mean though that Amazon is done with bricks and mortar? That it's all going to be online now? They've done this, it hasn't worked, and they move on.
Not really at all, to be honest, because they already own Whole Foods in the US, which is absolutely enormous. And so the difference between, say, Whole Foods and something like these Amazon retail stores is when they bought Whole Foods, they weren't just buying sort of, you know, a name. They were buying one, an established customer base. Whole Foods is a very large chain, but also like the knowledge of retail that came with that. Like when you're moving into a sector, sector knowledge is so important. Mm-hmm. So Amazon was able to like basically buy that knowledge, buy that customer base, and then use that to upsell other Amazon products. This is probably a case of, well, let's see how this works as an experiment for them. And it didn't work out this time after a couple of years. But like I said, for, you know, for most people, even most large companies, that's a huge ask. When you're the scale of Amazon, it's a risk worth taking.
Where is their biggest profit center in terms of their businesses? Is it AWS? Is that Amazon Web Services?
Yeah, very much so. And like, that's basically, you think of all the cloud services we use in the world today, like it's AWS, it's Microsoft's own services in that respect, Google as well. They're the three big providers. And even look at the history of Amazon when it comes to its share price. It was a very, very, very big company before AWS was started. But then you look at sort of, you know, the sheer jump upwards. Once AWS came into being, Amazon went from being like enormous to being ungodly, basically, in terms of the sheer amount of revenue it was generating. So it's an enormous revenue driver for them.
I suppose, Barry, what it shows is that not everybody can do the retail game successfully. I mean, look at a company like Amazon. Look how huge they are, how successful they are when it comes to online retail and selling everybody bits and bobs. But to get that retail experience right, you have to have the secret sauce.
Well, you do, Claire. I mean, in a way, isn't it quite gratifying that like the giant beast that grocery retailing is took a bit of a bite out of one of the biggest tech companies in the world? You know, it just goes to show that, you know, it's the future doesn't have to be frustrating. And supermarkets are sort of messy operations anyway. I mean, you have things like the supply chain, you have perishables, you have labor costs, you've all those very, very, you know, fixed costs that you get with bricks, as Emmett was saying, with bricks and mortar retailers. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it was an experiment, and it might be an experiment that might actually work in smaller formats. For example, in a stadium or at a football match or something, you want to go in and buy a bottle of water or a packet of crisps.
And you want to do it quickly.
And you want to do it quickly. But like when you're going in, Claire, if you're going in and doing your shopping, you know, you want to, you know, there's no checkout there, right? But there's also things like there's no receipt, there's no paper receipt. You have to wait till later on till you get your email with all your goods on it. And that people want a receipt in the heel of their fist as they're walking out the store because they want to know, did they get the bargain that it said on the shelf? Did they get the 2-for-1 offer? And that? Did they get the tenner off their 50 euro when they handed in their voucher? I mean, you know, look, like Jeff Bezos himself, the former CEO of Amazon, said, it's very, very hard to beat a pensioner with a club card. And it's those people love loyalty points and things like that. That sort of tech, they don't want a fancy app that will, you know, will do away with checkouts, will do away with the fancy, with that type of service as well. And you ask the majority of shoppers, what do they want when they go into a supermarket? Prices. They want low prices.
They want the value.
They want the value. They want an unexpected bargain. Look at the big discounters. You go in, you know, the discount stores. You go in, you know, there's a famous middle aisle. You know, you don't know what's going to jump out at you from the middle aisle. You go in for a packet of crisps and you come out with a Kangol hammer.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean.
Or a Halloween lantern.
All our Halloween. Yeah, exactly.
This week.
Sure, why not?
But then, you see, if people are looking for value, Barry.
Yes.
That would suggest to me that if Amazon had got the price point right, that the thing would have worked. So there's something else missing.
And what is missing there is that human element. I mean, people will say that about a lot of things. You're missing the human element. But it really is there, particularly in supermarkets, that you need that. You need that personal touch. You need, and even the self-scan checkouts as well. I mean, there's a lot of supermarkets that are reviewing the whole self-scan concept as well. They're not doing... You know, there was a time when we were saying, well, everybody's going to be self-scanned. You might get one or two checkouts out of 20.
Is that not the way it is in some places now?
Well, it is the way it is in some places, some of the larger places. But there's a bit of a change in that as well, because there's a kickback against it as well. Claire, look, you hate to hear unexpected item in the bagging area.
You do.
It's an existential dread, so it is. And people don't want it. They're there saying, did I scan my cucumber right? Did I scan me scan scallions right? Am I going to get a tip in the shoulder going out the door? Oh my God, am I being monitored? This is the thing as well, that in these stores, which is an increased level of sort of surveillance as well. And, you know, it's that people want convenience, not surveillance. They want that as well. And they're a bit of a concern.
So
about
when you say there's a pushback against the automated checkout, do you think that that's coming from what the consumers are saying, or are the supermarkets saying, we don't really like it, it's saving us money, but it's not doing our business any favours?
No, I think the consumer, I think this is a consumer-led thing. I mean, you take a joint retailer like Marks & Spencer, which just before COVID, and everybody says before and after COVID, but they were on their knees, but they're after coming back with an absolute force. They're really back on the scene again, on the retail scene again, because they've started to retrain their staff in personal service. And, you know, there is the odd, like, self-scan checkout and that there as well, but that's okay if you're going in for one or two items. But if you're going in for a big trolley load of stuff, you're not going to be standing there and unexpected item in your bagging area.
Yeah, but some people like the anonymous experience. I mean, you know this from all your years in retail. Some people don't want to talk to anybody.
So exactly. And that's fine as well. That's there as well. Let them come in, do their shopping and get it. But I think the majority of people want that personal touch as well. And another thing I noticed as well in the Amazon Just Walk Out store, I mean, you know, Just Walk Out, which we always had them shops in Ireland, but you had to pay for them. You had to pay first. Just walk out and you get a tip on your shoulder. But it's in the Amazon. The only thing I noticed is the amount of out of stocks are phenomenal. You know, you're going in. I went in, I was looking for a particular nacho of all things, a high level crisp, a nacho, and I couldn't find them. There was an empty space and there was nobody to ask. There was no staff, and I was afraid if I asked then I'd be given some big convoluted explanation. Well, you know,
they're probably watching you on a camera from
somewhere. They are. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, at every snack you take, every bite you take, they'll be watching you. Who said that? Sting, was it?
You put the words into his mouth now anyway. And Emmett, what's Amazon's focus now? I mean, is it all going to be AI driven, the next sort of business innovation that they're looking at?
It is, but like their key thing is always getting people from, you know, other services they already have and moving them towards basically buying more of their services. So I mentioned they have Whole Foods already. With Whole Foods, they use it sort of to drive memberships of Prime, which is obviously their online sales, but also their video service. Like likewise with the video service or with Prime, they're trying to drive people towards Whole Foods. And also the business-to-business side, there is an AWS side, which is just hugely, hugely focused. But with the amount of AI services coming increasingly on stream, more people are going to need more storage, more cloud space, which just means for AWS, the growth situation is frankly extraordinary in terms of sort of what data center needs are going to be. So Amazon have a, you know, unsurprisingly very rosy future in that respect.
Yeah, they just need the energy. And we heard that that's a problem. We were talking about that earlier in the week, that all of these AI plans need a lot more energy, which could be a stumbling block for all of these big companies down the line. Emma, thank you so much for joining us. Emmett Ryan there, a technology journalist. And of course, Barry Savage.
Thank you very much
indeed,
Claire.
Consultant.
I leave you one thought is that even the biggest of tech giants can't automate common sense or scallions.
Or scallions. There you go. We always come back to the scallions. Thank you, Barry. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.